some preseason NFL action right now. Two games have gotten week three of the preseason underway. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. In for Amber and Ian, I'm Jonathan Saslow. She is Maria Marino. And I know, Maria, you've been dying to get an update here on these preseason games. So don't worry. I'm going to give it to you right now. Colts and Bengals are tied at 7. They are in the middle of the second quarter. And the Bears have a 7-0 lead over the Chiefs. They are through one quarter. As far as the starting quarterbacks go, 3 of the 4 are not playing. Anthony Richardson, though, he is playing into the second quarter. That was expected. He's 8 for 14, 86 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He does have one rush for 3 yards. So there you go. There's a little update there on what's going on with the preseason. I don't know if you saw this, Maria, but, you know, a bunch of these teams before, they love doing the joint practices now. And they love doing the joint practices. It makes sense because, you know, in a preseason game, the game's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen in the game. You don't know what the other team's going to do. But in a joint practice, the coaches get together and they essentially map out a plan. We want to do this here. We'd like to work on this. Okay, we want to do this. We want to work on this. And so you're actually cooperating with each other to work on things that you need improvement on. And so the Colts and Bengals had been doing joint practices the last couple days against each other before this game that's going on tonight. And boy, the Bengals defense, they were chirping at Anthony Richardson. Like, they were all over him. All you do is run. You don't throw to receivers. You throw to spots. You can't read defenses. They were on him all throughout. You get all the trash talking. I mean, that's how you could understand. That's how all the fights happen, you know, in these joint practices.
The fights that make absolutely no sense to me.
I mean, is there anything dumber than punching a guy who's got a helmet on?
No. The answer is no. I have zero patience. I am on record saying I'm glad the Giants and Lions got fined $200,000 or whatever it was, because I just thought it was so beyond asinine. I get the passion. I love that. And I think that's great for these joint practices, but sometimes it's taking it a little too far. Like, you got to be smart.
I liked what Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the Patriots, said last week. Now, sometimes you can't help it. You can't help if someone on the other team is behaving like a dope and maybe you have to defend yourself, you know? But I loved what Gerard Mayo said, where in order to deter his team from fighting, he told them before the joint practice, if you're a starter and you fight, you're going to play the entire preseason game. If you're a reserve and you fight, you
Bribery.
Are not playing in the preseason game. That's a good way to... Now, again, you can't help it if you have to defend yourself if someone on the other team does something stupid. But that's a good way, I feel, like, to deter the guys on your team from fighting. If you're a starter and you fight, you will play the entire preseason game. If you are fighting for a job and you fight, you will not play in the preseason game.
Oh, I love it. You got to give some tangible, you know, motivation one way or the other for these players, for them to be reasonable with their approach. Because when the emotions get the best of you, you can end up getting hurt. And that is the worst. You know, you just, could you imagine? I mean, that's what got me so, frankly, like, annoyed when the Giants were fighting, especially when Daniel Jones was involved in a scuffle. It was like, dude, like, you haven't been healthy much of your career, and now you're putting yourself in a position where you could get, I mean, people have gotten hurt doing far more benign activities.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect the stuff you love with renter's insurance. Visit progressive.com. So, one of the big stories going into these training camps and preseason has been the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. And all signs right now, I believe, are still pointing to Russell Wilson being QB1. But so far, this Pittsburgh offense has looked anemic in the preseason. Two preseason games, they've accomplished absolutely nothing. Justin Fields, he's played in both. Russell Wilson played in the last one. And you got to hear Stephen A. Smith from First Take today, Maria. So, Stephen A. Smith, I don't know if you're aware, Stephen A. Smith has been known to get a little bit loud sometimes, all right? And today, speaking about Russell Wilson, Stephen A. Smith, the decibel level, it rose a little bit.
Russell Wilson, you're beginning to piss me off. Somebody got to say it, so I'm going to say it. You stunk last year. You were paid $37.8 million to go away. The Denver Broncos is willing to eat nearly $38 million to get rid of you. And you sitting there fighting for a starting job with Justin Fields. You ain't fighting for no starting job with Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or somebody. It's Justin Fields you're starting for a job with. And he's sitting there with some smile on his face talking about, you know, everybody needs to relax. You ain't Aaron Rodgers. You don't get to say that. You better show up. You wearing the black and gold now. You a Steeler. I said it last year. I'm going to say it again. The only damn thing good that you brought to Denver was Sierra. That was it.
So, Maria, just to clarify, because, you know, maybe someone just tuned in, they only heard, you know, the last portion of Stephen A.'s thoughts there about Russell Wilson. So just to clarify, he is not happy with what he has seen from Russell Wilson so far, Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, wasn't sure. I'm glad that you clarified on that one. Thank you, Zaz. I mean, it's Stephen A. It's Stephen A. So, I mean, an overreaction is it's expected.
So mad.
But, you know, I guess I'm just, I don't know what you really want. Like, he wants to see more passion when
he. I guess he wants to see him not assume that he's the guy.
I don't even know that he is assuming that. But, like, when he says, like, oh, he stunk last year, like.
I don't think he stunk last year.
Hold
I really
on.
Don't.
Yeah, because last year, it was a little complicated. Like, let's be honest. I mean, look, you remember getting absolutely crushed. The Broncos getting crushed by Miami. Like, that was obviously ugly.
What a day.
Week one, they lose by a point to Vegas. Week two, they lose by 2 points to Washington. They get crushed by Miami. But, you know, at one point, they were playing very well. One, two, three.
They were in the playoff picture
five,
late in the season. Now I know Russell Wilson eventually got pulled, but they turned it around.
No, yeah, he was playing well, and then the Sean Payton thing and the benching.
I didn't like that.
I'm still very lost on that. Like something seemed off, and so I don't know that I necessarily want to blame it not working out in Denver on. Russell Wilson.
I'm rooting for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, me too. First of all, I really enjoyed watching Russell Wilson as a quarterback in Seattle. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. For whatever reason, there seems to be something about his personality that some people just don't love. It does at times feel like he's getting unnecessary hate, and maybe I'm missing something, but I'm like, is he really that bad? Is he just like arrogant? Like, I don't know, but all that being said, like, I have no beef with Russell Wilson at this point in time.
Well, here's also Stephen A. Smith. This is from First Take today. He's telling everybody Justin Fields is the future.
In the case of Justin Fields, he's unquestionably the future for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know that. So it's really just a question of when you implement that. Is it first game of the season? Or is it thereafter? If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you might have to take into consideration what he experienced in Chicago. Justin Fields was the second most sacked quarterback over the last 2 years. He was sacked 99 times. You know there was only one person sacked more than him?
Right.
It was Russell Wilson with 100. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the two most sacked quarterbacks in the National Football League over the last 2 years. Here's the thing. Justin Fields is young. And so one can make the argument with Eberflus, who's a defensive-minded coach. It might be one of those situations where you need him under Arthur Smith. Let him get his tutelage. Let him hone his skills a little bit. Get him ready, because once you throw him in there, you're certainly not taking him out because he's the future.
So I've been pretty clear about this, Maria, as far as the direction I think the Steelers are going to have to go in at least to start the season. And that's Russell Wilson as the quarterback to start the year. You know, we're certainly going to get to a place at some point, unless Russell Wilson just all of a sudden turns back the clock and he's cooking out there like he did in Seattle. And I don't think anyone expects that to be the case. But if Russell Wilson is a completely competent quarterback, which I do believe we're going to wind up seeing in Pittsburgh, you're still going to wind up getting Justin Fields at some point, because I don't think Pittsburgh's a playoff team this year, and you got to take a look at Justin Fields because this is the last year of his contract. So it doesn't make sense to at least not give him a look. But the reason I'm so convinced that it's Russell Wilson at the start is because right now Mike Tomlin has two quarterbacks. If you start with Russell Wilson, if it's not going well, you could eventually go with Justin Fields. But if you start Justin Fields, now you only got one quarterback. If Justin Fields is your starter in week one, you can't then turn back to Russell Wilson 10 years older than Justin Fields. So you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot there if you're Mike Tomlin. It's why Wilson's going to start week one.
Yeah, I'm with you. You kind of can't go back. If Justin Fields truly is the future, it's like, all right, let's have a progression. Let's have a, you know, if we have a reason to go to him. But, you know, Russell Wilson, it's like, it feels like if you were to go to him later after starting Justin Fields, it would almost feel like, what is the direction of this team? Like,
it's no point.
I don't know. But the problem is too, like, I do think there are other issues with the offense besides just the quarterback. So we have to take that into consideration too.
She's Maria Marino. I'm Jonathan Zaslow in for Amber and Ian tonight here. Coming up next, you already heard Maria's top five best duo in sports. Coming up, very controversial, my top five best duo. That's on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Everyone knows the New York Yankees. New York Yankees are having a really good season. They bounced back. Remember, it was struggling a little bit. Now they're back in first place. First place in the entire American League, actually, at 75-53. So it had us thinking, they won today. They beat the Guardians 6-0. And it had us thinking, the best duos in sports. Because look at the year that Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are having. So we are doing our top five best duos in sports all time, all right? Maria Marino, she gave her list earlier here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. So I'm going to give you mine, but first, let's recap what yours was. Do from 5 to 1 for dramatic purposes. Go ahead.
I'll try to be quick with the recap, but what I did was I have the four major American sports leagues represented, but I started number five a little out of the box. I went with a popular Olympic sport, beach volleyball. Kerry Walsh Jennings and Misty May Traynor, three straight Olympic golds. That's my number five. Number four, I went with the OG Judge and Soto. I went with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, a combined three championships together. Number three, over to the NHL, Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky. Oh, yes, four cups with Edmonton. Did not win together with the Rangers, unfortunately. Number two, The NFL, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, 4 titles together, most touchdowns of a quarterback-receiver tandem in Super Bowl history. And finally, number 1 in the NBA, you know, you already know, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, 6 for 6 in the finals, enough said.
It's a good list. It's a good list. Let's get to my top 5. Let's hit it. Come on now.
Number 5.
All right. We begin with the 5th best duo, according to me. All right. And that's Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. They won 2 Super Bowls in the 80s together. We know Montana was undefeated. 2 of those were with Jerry Rice. I mean, I think Jerry Rice is the best football player I've ever seen. We know how great Montana is. So Montana and Rice, that duo, the original OG quarterback to wide receiver duo, that is the 5th best all time for me. Let's keep it moving.
Number 4.
How about 3 straight NBA Finals championships, 2000, 2001, 2002. We're talking Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. The perfect combination of power on the inside and the perimeter scoring and prowess of Kobe Bryant. I mean, they were incredible. And you don't even need to describe how great Shaq and Kobe were. The only surprise is that they're number 4 on my list, and they're not closer to number 1. So Shaq and Kobe, 3 NBA championships. They come in at number 4 on my list. Let's keep it moving.
Number 3.
Now, number 3. We didn't say that it has to be sports in reality. It could also be sports in the movies, or it could be sports in television. And that, of course, brings us to the 3rd best duo. We're talking Tim Riggins and Matt Saracen, the Dillon Panthers, and Friday Night Lights. I mean, what a duo. Fullback and quarterback, Tim Riggins and Matt Saracen. Think about this. They're managing high school at Dillon. They also have to make sure they're taking care of their girlfriends, Lila Garrity. Tim Riggins got to make sure she's happy. Matt Saracen is dating Coach Taylor's daughter. That can obviously be dicey. And amidst all of this, they still managed to combine for 2 Texas State championships, Maria. So number 3 is Tim Riggins and Matt Saracen. Let's keep it going.
Number 2.
All right, the 2nd best duo in the history of sports, and that also includes sports and entertainment. We're talking Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage, Mega Powers. The Mega Powers. They never lost, all right? Now, granted, they also never won a tag team championship, but that's not necessarily what they were after. They were just trying to dominate all the teams that they possibly could. Maybe they would have eventually won a tag team championship if Hulk Hogan didn't have lust in his eyes for Miss Elizabeth. And that obviously led to the Mega Powers exploding at WrestleMania 5. But nonetheless, number 2 best duo in sports, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, the Mega Powers. Now, before we get to number 1, let me do a little recap here, Maria. You give me a couple thoughts before we get to number 1. Number 5, best sports duos, Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, they won 2 Super Bowls together. Number 4, Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant, they won 3 championships together. Number 3, Tim Riggins and Matt Saracen, Dillon Panthers, they won 2 Texas State championships together. And number 2, the Mega Powers, they didn't win any championships. Your thoughts before we get to number 1, Maria.
Okay, real quick, definitely consider Jerry Rice and Joe Montana. Ultimately, I went with Brady and Gronk. They won more together. Jerry Rice obviously went on and had a lot of success with Steve Young as well. Kobe and Shaq, I considered them definitely high on the list of NBA duos. But, I mean, look, how can you not go Jordan and Pippen? I mean, they can't win until we quit. That was Jordan and Pippen. They won 6 you know, more than Kobe and Shaq together. Friday Night Lights, man, you took a turn with this one and the interpretation of the list, but I think you'll enjoy my Halloween costume from last year. Go back on my Twitter, at Maria C. Marino,
okay.
And you may or may not be able to find a photo from Friday Night Lights. I'll leave it at that. Hulk Hogan and Randy, I'm not into the wrestling stuff.
Mega powers,
yeah,
Maria.
Yeah, I'm out on that. What's your number one? It's killing me.
Let's get to it. Come on.
Number one.
The number one duo, you and I, we only agree on one. There's only a repeat of one duo on your list and mine, and that's Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier. The number one duo. They won four Stanley Cups in Edmonton in the 80s, and you may be saying to yourself, Zaslow, how could that be number one? Easily. Wayne Gretzky is the best ever. There's no debate about that. You could have paired him with anyone. Well, Messier isn't just anyone. It's Mark Messier. That's why Gretzky and Messier are the number one duo of all time in sports. It was a very difficult decision, if I got to be honest with you. If the Mega Powers could have won probably one tag team title, I probably could have put them at the top, but that's what held them back, and that's why Gretzky and Messier, they take the number one spot. I told you before we started the show, Maria, you were wondering if we were going to have any repeats on our list.
Yes.
And I said, maybe one.
But did
and that's
you
exactly
think that
what it was.
But did you think that was the one it was going to be? You didn't expect me to go hockey.
I did not. No.
I tried to be representative and, you know, look outside just my, you know, my purview.
I thought the one that we were going to repeat was Tim Riggins and Matt Saracen from Friday Night Lights.
Stop. No. You thought, if you were being honest, you thought maybe I would have had like Kobe and Shaq or something. But look, you cannot deny greatness. So well deserved. I'm glad. I'm okay with that one. I'm happy you have Messier and Gretzky number one. That's certainly respectable.
All right, I'm going to go check out Maria Marino's Instagram and see what the Halloween costume was.
Coming up
next, best case, worst case scenario, two-a-days, Buffalo Bills. That's on Amber and Ian right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod at checkout.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
This is
180.
ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days. The Buffalo Bills.
This is Elena Getzenberg covering the Bills. The top storyline I'm watching during camp is how quarterback Josh Allen builds his connections with the new and young receiving options on the roster. And as part of that, the ways in which he steps up as a leader. The Bills have an almost brand new wide receiver room this year, including rookie Keon Coleman, and will be relying on the likes of tight end Dalton Kincaid to take on a bigger role in the offense. How smoothly the Bills can start to get the offense on the same page throughout camp, and how Allen guides them, especially after moving on from 16 captains in the offseason, will go a long way this year.
Well, as you heard there, a lot of turnover on the Buffalo Bills. Division champs, of course, several years in a row now, but a lot of turnover coming into this 2024 season. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. She's Maria Marino. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. You can hit her up at Maria C. Marino, and I am at Zaslow Show. So before we get to it here with our ESPN Radio NFL Two-A-Days Buffalo Bills, I did check out Maria's Instagram account Halloween last year, and her husband, they are dressed up as characters from what a show, Friday Night Lights. You are dressed up as the great Lila Garrity in a cheerleader outfit, and your husband is dressed up in a Dillon Panthers football uniform as Tim Riggins. So there you go. Yes, you know? No, that was excellent. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you. I'm glad you're a fan.
What a show. All right. So ESPN Radio NFL Two-A-Days, we're focused on the Buffalo Bills. And as we do it here on Amber and Ian, we do a little best case, worst case.
Best case.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Worst case.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
It was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Best case, worst case with Amber and Ian.
All right, so let's do it here, Maria Marino. Now, full disclosure, the Buffalo Bills, they get no love in the Zaslow Mansion. We are not about the Buffalo Bills here. So I could be biased, but I could also be right. We'll see. But with that said, let's come to you first. Best case scenario this season for the Buffalo Bills.
Once again, my best case scenario for the Bills is they win their division. They win a Super Bowl. I do believe that they are one of a handful of teams that has the ability to win a Super Bowl. I believe if not for running into Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, once again, last postseason, the Bills had as good a shot as anybody to actually get a ring when all was said and done. That didn't happen, but I do still think that is the best case. On ESPN bet right now, around the seventh best odds. So I think people are a little unsure with all these young receivers, no Stephon Diggs. But I still do believe that the ceiling for this team is high. I mean, it's a tough division, though. I'll get to worst case in a minute.
Maria, best case scenario for this Buffalo Bills team is they're a wild card team.
Oh.
They lose on the road in the first round of the playoffs, but have no fear. Buffalo Bills fans all throughout this season, Bills Mafia, as they call themselves, they're still going to jump through lots of tables. Some of them are going to be on fire. This is very, very normal behavior. They'll still be able to do all of that throughout the season, but best case scenario, wild card team, and they wind up losing on the road in the first round. As you could tell, Maria, I am not big on the Buffalo Bills.
I can tell. Do you want me to go into my worst case?
Let's do it.
All right. So, worst case for me, they don't even make the playoffs because, again, we have three teams in this division in the AFC East that they're all realistically could contend, which means somebody's going to probably get left out to dry. And it is a really tough conference. So it's certainly possible that the Bills are on the outside looking in. I mean, remember, last year they were looking pretty dicey. They really turned things up in December and won out and really made a final push. I'm sure you'll remember all too well. I don't want to make you sad, Zaslow, because,
okay,
you know, it happened with the Dolphins
I've
and
seen
everything
worse.
Else.
I've seen worse. It's okay.
But what I'm saying is, like, they were looking pretty vulnerable last year and managed to pull it together. But what if that doesn't happen this year?
Worst case scenario for me, Buffalo Bills, they're an 8-win team, meaning they're under 500, and they miss the playoffs. They also get swept by the Miami Dolphins in both games this season. That's worst case scenario. That's actually what I think could wind up happening here. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to miss the playoffs. Matter of fact, I think the AFC East is only going to have one team representing them in the postseason. It will be the division winner. It will be the Miami Dolphins, who have not won that division in a very, very long time.
Well, I think that would be cool, but I guess what I'm wondering, Zaz,
very
is
cool.
For real, what when you look at the Jets and you compare them to the Dolphins, what makes you so much more confident in the Dolphins?
Because I don't believe in Aaron Rodgers. I think it's incredibly difficult coming at 39, 40 years old, Achilles injury. I mean, look, we've advanced a lot further in medicine, obviously, over the last 20, 25 years, whatever. But you get an Achilles injury, that used to be thought of as a potential career ender, all right? Now, that's not the case anymore. But no. Aaron Rodgers is still 40 years old, we're talking about here. So I don't have a ton of confidence in him coming back from this injury. I think it's not something I wanted to hear if I'm Aaron or if I'm a Jets fan, which, thank God, I'm not. But it's not something I would want to hear if I'm a Jets fan that Aaron Rodgers just had the hardest training camp he's gone through in a very long time.
Yeah, but I feel like that's more a positive thing about Robert Saleh and him really just trying to leave it all out there in training camp and go for it than it is like a negative on, oh, well, it was a tough training camp because Aaron Rodgers is older and coming off an injury. Like, I didn't take it that way. I took it more of just like, all right, they really worked their asses off in camp.
I took it that way because I don't like the Jets. And
okay,
I'm going
right,
to
well,
look
I'm
at
glad,
it
I'm
in
glad
a glass half empty view.
All right, well, I'm glad we're clear on that. But look, I am not sold on Aaron Rodgers by any means, but I do feel like him not playing at all last year could end up benefiting him just for the sheer rest that he had at his age. Whereas if he had played all of last season, I think I'd feel worse about him because of the extra mileage that would have been on his body.
Back to the Buffalo Bills real
okay,
quick here.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. But back to the Buffalo Bills here. Bills fans got to be so mad at me right now because there's not a huge variance for me between best case and worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Like best case scenario, you had them as a Super Bowl contender, right?
Right.
And
right.
Worst case scenario, you have them missing the playoffs. For me, best case scenario, I have them as a wild card team losing on the road in the first round, and worst case, just under 500. Hey, listen, Bills fan, I could have said 3 wins, all right? Instead, I said 8 wins is worst case scenario. Missing the playoffs, swept by the Miami Dolphins.
Well, it kind of reminds me of how I felt about the Cowboys doing best and worst case. Like, I don't think either scenario is that far away from each other because I think even if they have another winning regular season and then end up losing in the first round of the playoffs, it's still going to be awful and it's still going to be just like right back where you started. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a big gap between going far in the postseason and just falling completely flat.
So that right there is another edition of best case and worst case scenario. ESPN Radio NFL Two-A-Days. That right there was on the Buffalo Bills. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. In for the guys tonight, she's Maria Marino. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Coming up next, an award-winning segment. Award-winning, which everybody knows. We'll tell you if it's a big deal or if it's not a big deal. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM, Channel 80.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
All right, Maria, take it easy here. I'll get you an update on the preseason games. All right, hold on a second. Let's not get crazy here. So, early third quarter, the Colts have a 10-7 lead over the Bengals. And late in the second, the Bears have a 10-7 lead over the Bears. That'd be crazy if they had a 10-7 lead over themselves. No, the Bears have a 10-7 lead over the Chiefs. And Anthony Richardson, he played a little bit into the second quarter. He was 8-14. 86 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He is the only starting quarterback of those aforementioned four teams who saw action tonight. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. She, of course, is Maria Marino. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. All right, this is what everyone's been waiting for. Sometimes you're sitting around and you're saying to yourself, I gotta know, is it a big deal or is it not a big deal? Let's get to it.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
All right, Maria, Renee Canales, he is our producer tonight, filling in for James Steele. He's producing the show Behind the Glass up there in Bristol. Hello, Renee.
Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Excellent.
All right, wonderful. All right, let's kick it off with something that you really enjoy, Maria. The WNBA, the New York Liberty, in a game against the Dallas Wings, won their eighth consecutive game to move to 25-4. That's a 25-4 record in the WNBA. The overall leaders in the dub. 79-71 victory over the Wings at the Barclays Center. Maria, big deal or not a big deal, the Liberty winning their eighth consecutive game.
I mean, not a big deal that they beat the Wings. They're one of the worst teams in the league, but they were missing Sabrina Ionescu. They've been missing Banajalani Hamilton, haven't missed a beat. Became the favorites over the last week to win the title. So I'd say that is a damn big deal here in New York. I mean, they have a real shot to win the first title in franchise history.
I mean, listen to the confidence as Maria speaks about the WNBA. I mean, that is expert commentary right there from Maria. I'm going big deal because, like you said there, they have never won the WNBA championship. So, you know, to put themselves in a position, it's not a big deal that they won that game in particular.
Right.
But you want to make sure you can hang on to that number one seed.
For
you know,
sure.
The Sun, they're only three losses back of the Liberty for number one. So I'll go big deal, Renee.
Whoop, whoop.
Perfect. I love it. I'm a Liberty fan, so I'm all for it. Let's move on to Major League Baseball here. And last weekend, the New York Yankees played the Detroit Tigers in the Little League Classic over at Williamsport. Unfortunately, the Tigers did beat the Yankees in extra innings 2-1. But what the story that came out of there is that apparently the Staten Island Little League head coach said that Aaron Judge should have spent a little bit more time with the kids from Staten Island. Laterza basically said, how about turning around or waving to New York and the kids that think you're a hero? They are the ones who pay your salary. In a statement released on Wednesday, the Yankees called Judge one of the great ambassadors of our sport and noted that our roster spent the day in Williamsport connecting with as many little leaguers as they possibly could. But big deal or not a big deal, Zaslow, the Staten Island Little League head coach really going at Aaron Judge like that?
Yeah, I'm going not a big deal because this is such loser behavior from this Little League coach. You know, I don't know Aaron Judge. I know a lot of people think, wow, Zaslow, you're tight with Aaron Judge. No, I don't know Aaron Judge. I've never covered Aaron Judge. But everything that I've heard about him is he really is one of the all-time good guys in Major League Baseball. You know, the whole, could you have waved to our players when you were in the on-deck circle during the game, turn around and wave to them? No, he can't because he is working. He is doing his job, which is extremely difficult, and he is focused on that. So could he turn around and wave to them during the game? The answer to that is no. And the second part, you know, that these kids are the ones who pay your salary. Number one, none of those kids pay his salary. They don't have jobs. They are definitely not paying his salary. And the second,
made no sense.
And the second part is, even if you want to say that the parents do, that's not the way it works, all right? When you buy tickets for baseball, when you buy tickets for any of these teams, that goes to the owner. The owner can then do whatever he wants with your money. Maybe he gives it to executives to hire. Maybe he uses it on the minor leagues. Maybe he pays players. Maybe he puts it in his pocket. No fans are paying the salary of players, and certainly those kids are not paying the salary of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I mean, I echo that it's not a big deal and that this is going to be forgotten probably sooner than later. I mean, it's a big enough deal that it's prompting a reaction out of us just because it's so ridiculous. But yeah, I just echo that everything you hear about Aaron Judge is he treats everybody with respect. He gives everybody the time of day. There were photos of him with little leaguers from earlier in the day.
Of course.
And I agree. When you're in the middle of the game, I'm sorry, he's trying to win a Major League Baseball game. And so, no, maybe he wasn't in that moment thinking of turning and waving and you know, gesturing towards the kids. But that doesn't mean that he didn't give them the time of day, which he clearly did. And the Yankees said it all in their statement. He is a great ambassador, a great role model. And this dude was out of line.
It's such loser talk. I just can't stand it.
Yep. His name is Bob Laterza, the coach.
Yeah. I mean,
South
I feel Florida bad. League. I even feel bad like on the call out, but I guess I shouldn't. Like, he just, you're out of line. You're out of line, bro.
Especially with a guy like Aaron Judge. I mean, the guy's basically a saint.
You're missing the bigger picture, basically.
Essentially. All right. Staying with Major League Baseball, let's go over to the Northwest. After 9 years at the helm of the Seattle Mariners, Scott Servais was let go, coincidentally, by a longtime friend, the president of baseball operations, Jerry Dipoto. They just got swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers and have lost 8 of their last 9 games. On June 18th, check this out, which was crazy to even think about it. Mm-hmm. On June 18th, the Mariners held a 10-game lead over the Houston Astros in the American League West. They are now 5 games back, and since that June 18th date, they are 20-33. I mean, a ridiculous tailspin. And also, the Houston Astros are up 6-0 against the Baltimore Orioles right now in Baltimore, so that lead will go up to, I believe, 5.5. But big deal or not a big deal, Maria, Scott Servais let go as the manager of the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal because he has been there since right before the 2016 season. I mean, he has a win percentage over 500. It's just a shame because, you know, they made the playoffs in 2022, which was, you know, snapped a huge drought, a 21-year drought, in fact, and then, you know, fall short last year. But there was also a little bit of weird, like, management stuff going on, you know, revenue issues. The Mariners ownership didn't want to increase payroll. So there's a lot of, I don't know, they didn't necessarily put the front office in the best position, but of course, like in this situation, it's the manager that has to go because of the slide that you outlined. Like, when that happens, there's really not much else you can do.
Yeah, it's a big deal because, like you mentioned, it's a team that is still in the playoff race. They're 5 back in the division. They're 7.5 back for the last wild card spots. They're actually closer in the AL West than they are to catching one of the wild card teams. It's shocking because at this point in the season, to be somewhat in a playoff race and fire your manager doesn't happen all that often. But I would actually say that they're having the foresight to try and, I guess, plug a hole in this leak before it's too late. Like, you can't fire the players at this point of the season. You can't trade the players at this point of the season. The one last thing you could do to try and make a final push to get to a playoff spot, which you were in for the first half of the season, is, all right, can we shake things up by firing the manager? So
right.
They got 34 games left. They're trying to do something before it's really too late. So I give them credit there. This is a big deal. And that right there, excellent job, Renee, is another addition
of
big deal or not a big deal here on Amber and Ian. What a show tonight.
What a show.
I mean, I think you made a little bit of history with your top five, you know, sports duo list. I mean, mine was super controversial, you know. I think we learned a lot of
controversial.
I think we learned a lot about each other, you know.
Yes.
And that's how it's done.
I already got some tweets like with suggestions of other sports duos, which I love. So that's why these are such good topics. The list always gets the people excited.
There you go. All right. Maria, you can go now. You can keep track. You can watch the fourth quarter of both of the preseason football games. We will not keep you any longer. Renee, Cam, excellent job, guys. Maria, of course, excellent job. Always fun working with you. This has been Amber and Ian. Coming up next, game night with Q Myers and David Dennis Jr. right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.